Drunk on Comics, episode 61. Where if episodes were years, we'd be close to retirement.
Wow, Tony, you're sounding weird.
Tony, you sound weird, because I'm Derek, and I'm sounding weird,
Do I sound sexier?
I don't know. Anyways,
we're all sexy bitches
here. Yes, we are. Welcome to...
For comic book readers, I guess...
You're not letting me welcome our listeners. Fuck you guys.
Wait, did you say fuck you guys as the listeners or us?
Oh, shit. Now we're going to get
hate. We're tail spinning.
Correct. Well, as you can hear, we don't have Mr. Derek with us today.
They don't know. Derek could be quiet in the corner the entire time.
Derek's never quiet in the corner.
That's true.
He doesn't have any opinions today.
Nobody
maybe.
Puts Derek in the corner. Except when he pays for it.
Anyways, guys, we got Kevin and Matt. I'm Tony. We are Drunk on Comics. We are bringing you the best comics of the week, news from around... the world.
Maybe
and
not
nerdly
the best,
nuggets.
But our favorite.
What?
Did you just say nerdly nuggets?
Dude, it's
God, this
it's
was
ingrained.
Your chance to keep, have a nerdly nugget free zone.
I know. I wanted to come up with a different
Dude,
thing
it's,
besides
it's
that.
Ingrained in your head forever.
Spoiler alert. We're not going to do that.
Okay. Well, we're about to kick this off with Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf is brought to you by Grand Con, September 20th through 22nd at the Prince Conference Center in Grand Rapids. You can find them at grand-con.com or find them on Twitter or Facebook. Our Off the Shelf segment is we each pick our favorite book. Might not be the best book of the week because we don't read everything. We don't have that much money or time.
Or time. Yeah, time's very limited. But
we might spoil the books.
Yeah, for me, I'm spoiler free again this week.
I'll probably spoil things.
Okay, well,
but I have no funny witty combat.
Good, because I hate when you come up with something.
I know. I'm gonna start recycling them.
Well, all right, guys. Well,
recycling them like spoiled ice cream. What?
What does that even mean?
It's true. A lot of your chocolate ice cream, your cheap chocolate ice cream in stores, was once other ice cream that they've recycled.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
That's
so avoid the
gross.
Chocolate ice cream from the grocery
what,
store.
Is it just chocolate?
Mostly chocolate because it's the easiest way to mask any imperfections from the original source
wow.
ice cream.
Wow.
Wow.
And knowing is half the battle, gentlemen. All right, Kevin, what do you got this week?
Body massage. All right, guys. So during these reviews, I usually reveal little nuggets about myself.
God, nugget.
So today I'm going to tell you something shocking. I'm old and out of touch. And I mean, out of touch in general, because you know it's clearly obvious I'm out of touch for the most part about the comic books. But I know I'm... It's the case that I'm out of touch because I'm not usually hip to things that are going around me, especially the sensation that I know that's going around a lot. When I see it on T-shirts and comic books and everywhere, and I'm fucking talking about Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now
you got me interested.
Oh, okay. So you guys watch this show?
I have watched actually a couple episodes to try to figure out what the fuck it's about. Like, it being everywhere, like you said, I felt old, and I finally watched it.
I thought I was watching Adventure Time, when in reality I was just watching Milo run around the living room. So
he has some crazy arms.
I thought I was watching Adventure Time, and then I realized I was just high at the park.
You know, that's what I've heard three things about this show. People wanting to get high and watch this show. That they have there's this character with some crazy arms.
Yeah.
And actually, that's about it.
Okay.
I've only saw like maybe 5 minutes. I was flipping through the television as I'm procrastinating trying to get out and do yard work or something like that. But
you are old.
Housework, yard work, yeah. So of course, so I'm seeing this popular show. My curiosity's peaking, and I'm like, dude, now I see there's this book called Adventure Time 2013 Summer Spectacular. I'm like, well, with a title like that, I gotta pick this up. So Well, what was really cool about Summer Spectacular is that it's actually four short stories together in one package for $3.99.
That's cool.
$1 per book, except for the fourth one, which you get a penny off.
What a deal.
See, I'm always looking for that deal. So to give credit where credit's due, the first story was written by and illustrated by Noel Stevenson. The second story by Ryan Pequin. Third story is by Emily Partridge. And the last was written and illustrated by Frank Gibson and Becky Dreistadt.
Okay.
It's all brought to you by Kaboom Studios.
Oh, I haven't heard anything from Kaboom.
I've never heard of anything from them. Do you know of anything else that I might have heard of from them?
Actually,
I have some ideas, but I can't be sure, so I'm gonna keep silent.
Well,
I think Michael Bay works for Kaboom Studios.
So, Adventure Time book that I read really made me think about my personal favorite, and I mentioned it over and over again, Superman Family Adventures. Where both books are very clever in their writing, and they both give me genuine laugh-out-loud moments. But I actually think the dialogue in Adventure Time is a little superior to Superman Family Adventures. And it's probably because the intended audience is different. Adventure Time is...
I was going to say, is this for kids then, or is it adults?
Family Adventures, I mean, that's definitely kid-oriented. Just the way it's drawn, the way that the dialogue reads. Whereas you have this, preteen, teen, and on up.
So
and
the middle schoolers who are smoking dope. Okay.
Well, I don't. There's in the book. There's really none of that trippy aspect that I would think that's going to be in the television show that I've never seen. But
that you're just assuming.
Yeah, I'm just assuming that there's got to be something that's going to, you know, make me want to have acid flashbacks. Now, for the first two stories, we have Finn and Jake, who's a dog, which, of course, these two are going to be in the main focus of the book. But the book also gives some face time to a couple of the other characters. There's Fiona and her companion, Cake, who's a cat. So I guess they're a alternate female
version. I get it, Jake and Cake. Yeah.
So, but then there's another story, which doesn't have much dialogue in it at all. And it's okay. It's, as a collective package, it is very fun, cute, and readable.
Okay.
Because I actually read this thing three times.
Oh, I just thought you had a stuttering problem there.
It caused me to have a brain aneurysm.
No, honestly, like I have a total man crush with this dialogue in it. Cool. And I felt so uncool reading it that if I kept on reading it, maybe I'll be cool one day, like just like the characters in this book.
Well, see, though, I like how you said that you feel old, yet you read Superman Adventures or whatever, and this book now, like
you're a pinball wizard. So.
Yeah, you're reading young. You're young at heart, dude.
I mean, yeah, I'm a big pinball guy, but I mean,
don't shortchange yourself.
I always think that is kind of growing to be an older activity. But pinball's hip. It's happening.
This intrigues me. I might have to borrow this from you.
Yeah, yeah. But as I mentioned, this is each story drawn. There's four stories, each drawn by a unique artist. Fortunately, they just don't draw like this show is drawn. They all have their own unique takes on it, and for that, I give them a tip of the cap. I mean, it's not mind-blowing shit like what we normally see in our superhero books, Marvel, DC. I mean, that stuff's, I mean, light years above what I read here, attention to details, sort of like that. But it's good for what it is. Before I came here, I set a series program on my DVR for Adventure Time, so I look forward to some television antics and maybe picking up a few of these where I've kind of just walked by them in the past. So
don't forget, you're gonna smoke weed.
Oh, I'm totally gonna pack me a fucking big old all right bowl before I watch it. So
awesome. Well, I picked up Guardians of the Galaxy number 5.
Really? Is Rocket the Raccoon in this?
Yes, he is. I was going to pick something different, but I just had to explain the backstory of Angel. I mean, they kept talking about it. Guardians of the Galaxy 5 is going to have her first appearance.
Did you say Angel?
Angela.
Angela.
Oh, okay.
It's Angela.
Because Warren Worthington, is that his name? He's back?
Yeah, Archangel, but sometimes is Angel, and sometimes is...
And now there's two angels.
That shit crazy.
But she's the first real angel,
she's
I guess.
She's truly an angel.
Which makes the other angel not a real angel, even though they did explain...
But he's a mutant.
But they also had a whole series of him possibly being an angel.
That was touched by an angel.
You were touched by something. So let's get this ball rolling. This is written by... Brian Bendis, no need to say Michael because he's as big as he is.
Well, and he's a friend of the show, so.
Not as good as our best friend. Art by Cyril Pacilli and consultant Neil Gaiman. Ooh, let's see what he consulted. On the first page, we have Angela, who we think is going to tell us a little bit more about herself. Yet she totally repeats the dialogue that she said in Age of Ultron book 10.
Yeah, almost word perfect. I haven't gone back to check the two, but yeah, she's definitely got the big floating stone head, gory blood.
Oh, good. I was wondering if the guy was going to make another appearance.
And she wants to find whoever did this to her. I'm going to quick kind of skip part of this book to go to the other appearance of her fighting Gamora. And that was about her. She had no other dialogue in this besides her repeating herself. I'm so glad that I got this to find out her backstory and how she got here.
I'm glad Neil Gaiman consulted on this one.
Besides that little letdown, it was a really good book. It's getting a lot more into, like, there's a whole overall thing going with the Marvel Universe right now, with this whole time stream thing going on.
It's like continuity. It's like working.
It's like a flashpoint. Like, as they've said, there's flashes of light, and I think that they're doing the same thing.
The Flash was so fast that he screwed up the Marvel Universe, too.
Yes.
Damn it.
But it gets to a part where, well, actually in the first part, as I had spoken of before, possibly, that Iron Man did Gamora, and that didn't turn out too good. Probably he was explaining how he's always wanted to do a green alien chick, so that's kind of why he did it. And
thank you, watching, Captain Kirk.
Yep, watching Star Trek, and Rocket Raccoon is kind of like, dude, I should have warned you, but that was kind of his fuck up. Of course, Rocket, when Angela comes, kind of like, why don't you go out and talk to her? Maybe you can woo her. We then have Peter Quill on talking to Mantis, who used to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. She's a psychic. She kind of knows things. And Peter was saying how he had this flash, this vision of whatever it is. And so Mantis is trying to read his mind and kind of sees that vision, this psychic tear of the time stream and of these different versions of what happened. So I'm really trying to figure out how they're trying to combine some of the past stories here. There's a lot of shit that happened with this team before, which I think is how they're overwriting it. As I said, it's not a reboot, Marvel, right now, but it seems like it's going in a direction of some timelines, some storylines are not going to be quite...
Yeah, but it's not a reboot, but what they did is they took a lot of the old stories, threw them on the ground, and then booted them, stepped on them.
And redid that.
And then rewrote new stories.
Yes. Ultimately, she says, you know who you need to talk to, and I just had a feeling I knew who he was going to talk to, someone that is going to be big in... the Marvel Universe soon. You ultimately find out that...
Can you talk to Groot?
Yes, because Groot's going to be huge. Redwood Forest,
he's
man.
He's a tree. He's a tree.
He goes to talk to the one person who may know about the time stream and what be fucked up with it. And he says it was on Earth that this all came about. And, you know, the Earth needs to be punished. So as Thanos says, Thanos does. And this is going to start getting into infinity.
What's nice is that, what I kind of thought was a nice touch, is that they show Gamora battling Angela on the moon because she was going towards Earth. Because she vowed vengeance to whoever did this, right? Which makes you think, who's she going to kill? Wolverine? Because he's technically the one that messed with time so much. Or Doctor Doom for making the time platform that Wolverine used. Or Hank Pym for creating Ultra, whatever. But they're just fighting, and you get Peter Quill's and Thanos' conversation. And you don't even need to know it's Thanos, because as soon as his word bubble comes up, you know who's got the black line around it. And that it's like if someone were speaking in Thor Vedica. You'd know exactly who it was. And that kind of made me smile, going, ah, I know who this is.
So, is Thanos still rising?
Yes, there's one more issue.
Oh, okay.
he's still rising, and then he'll be
And then
on
when
top.
He's done, we can put him in the oven and bake the bread. Cool. I have long... I've been away from the Ultimate Universe for far too long. And I know I talked...
You need to go back, Matt. You need to go back.
While it's still there.
So it's still around?
For a little while longer. I'm pretty sure it's coming to an end. Which would be all right with me, because one of the things that has always been awesome about the Ultimate Universe is they weren't afraid to shake things up and kill off important characters. Ultimatum, as much as I hated it, and that's kind of when I stopped reading with it, was actually a pretty bold move. And now that I've read some of the stories that have come after... Words I wish I would have kept reading all along. Particularly, Ultimate Comics, The Ultimates, which is a much cooler name than Avengers. Sorry. This is issue number 28 by, let me butcher some names here, Joshua Hale Fialkov, Carmine Di Giamdomenico, Lorenzo Rogerino, and Jim Charla Lampidus.
Wow.
And the cover art by Michael Cormark, yeah.
Could they not had John Smith and James Brown do those?
The cover art, first off, is pretty awesome. They're at the headstone of Antonio Stark, who is dead. What? Tony Stark is dead? Yes, they went there and they killed Tony Stark, which I was quite surprised that he was dead, not just, I'm just kidding, I'm alive. No.
He's Antonio
Stark? He's Antonio Stark. They changed the names a little bit. It wasn't Victor Von Doom, it was Victor Van Damme. But then he became doing it, yeah. Anyways, shut up, it's the Ultimate Universe. So, in this, the story arc is called Disassembled.
Is Van Halen still Van Halen in this world, or is it Van Hagar?
You guys need to write that in before you close up this universe. It's Van Hagar. They never broke up. All right. So, in Disassembled, Ultimates Disassembled here, they are going on the storyline with the Infinity Gauntlets. That's actually what spurred me on to say, okay, I'm going to give them another chance. They're going to do the Infinity Gauntlets in this world. And so I went back and I got all the other back issues from trade paperbacks, and they were awesome, and I'll probably rant about them on another day. But right now, Reed Richards is about to get all the Infinity Gauntlets and kind of destroy the world. Oh, wait, I forgot to mention, Reed Richards is a bad guy, and he's a badass bad guy.
That's awesome.
He is. He's like, he's the best type of bad guy who truly believes that he is right and everyone else is wrong. Essentially, he became Dr. Doom. Dun-dun-dun! Doom-doom-doom!
So many questions now.
Yeah, we'll talk about it some other time. So, as I mentioned, Tony Stark is dead. The rest of the heroes have been captured. Kang, the Conqueror, is a chick. And she's come back and told Reed Richards and the Hulk, who are working together, and Quicksilver, that this is what needs to happen for the future to survive. Otherwise, our whole universe is going to be destroyed. And getting the Infinity Gauntlet was part of their plan. There's a nice little slip in there when Pietro says, "Damn it, Wanda," while he's talking to Kang. And I'm like, ooh, is Kang really the Scarlet Witch who's supposed to be dead but isn't really dead? This would make me happy. Anyways, enough joygasm overing that. The coolest part is they're trying to break into Tony Stark's armories because he's kind of protected the last gem, the power gem in this shield. And so Reed Richards is like, I'm smarter than you. I'll steal a brainwave from you and open up your locks. And when he inserts the brainwave in there, it turns on all of his armors, and they all explode. And so it was like a booby trap. But it wasn't just that. Tony Stark is no more, but his brain lives on in the computers, kind of like his tumor that was controlling all these things. And at the very end, they're like, Tony, where are you? He goes, no, Tony's dead. I am Iron Man. And he is now completely just, like, control in the machines. So he's the ghost in the machine, which I thought, wow. If you're going to make a bold choice by killing him off, then that is a really good recovery. So I spoiled that one for you guys. But seriously, pick up the Ultimates because they're ultimate.
And they're going to be extinct
soon. And they're going to be pretty extinct soon. Wow.
See, that's crazy. You spoiled it, but you've sparked my interest. I mean, to me, it just sounds like a big old what-if universe. And
it kind of is. It's what it started with. I think the idea was that they wanted to be a starting on point where new readers would start reading the Ultimate comics.
Sure.
So many of them were buying the Ultimates and the regular ones, and then when it got too expensive, they started dropping Ultimate titles.
Okay.
But what they wanted to do was create a universe that wasn't bogged down by, like, 50 years of, frankly, sometimes bad writing and continuity issues. And so they started fresh, and you know who the characters are, but they're modern. Like, in the first series of the Ultimates, they actually talk about, hey, they're making a movie out of us, superheroes. And Nick Fury, who's black, this is the first time Nick Fury was black, says, who's going to play you? Oh, Samuel L. Jackson. And there's actually a ton of things in the movie universes that started in the Ultimate universes, whether Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, or the Ultimates. So I think that we owe a big debt and tribute to the Ultimate universe. So go buy those. Except if you all go buy them, then they won't stop the Ultimate Universe anymore. So wait till they destroy it, and then go back.
Don't you want them to not?
No, I kind of do want. I do want it to come full circle. It'd be nice to have a book ending where, like, this is no more. And
wow, okay.
I think that's what's really cool about it is you can do that with some characters, whereas the ongoing stuff can never really end, so you can't really kill characters.
That is true. So. Except for Peter Parker, he's dead. So
yeah, he's a ghost.
Yeah. Yes, he's a ghost. Thank you, Matt. What was that, Derek? What? You agree with me? Okay, thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was our off-the-shelf segment brought to you again by Grand Con, September 20th through 22nd. Check them out at grand-con.com, and hopefully we'll see you there.
All right, Kevin, I heard you got a long box.
Yeah, I you know, I'm not going to go too deep because you can't really review Police Academy, the comic book.
That's badass. Those movies changed my life.
Man, when's the last time you guys seen Police Academy?
I want to say last year.
The first one?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, the first one. I forgot. Like it,
first
it,
two actually really are really good.
Yeah, the second one toned it down just a little bit from the first one because the first one was fucking raunchy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Bob Cap was there,
dude. Oh my gosh, it was such a great movie. But then the sequel started churning out, and then eventually they came out with an animated series.
Yeah, I remember watching those.
Yeah, and then they came out with Police Academy, the comic book.
How's the comic book hold up?
Oh, it is shit, man.
I was saying, if you fold it in half and cram it underneath a wobbly table, it'll stabilize it.
So this is number two, and I mean... it's bad because you have I don't remember most of the characters. You got Mahoney, and you know he's all about getting laid, and then you got Bobcat Goldthwait, who's his character. You got all the popular characters in this book, but the stories are just, they're not even enjoyable reading them now. I might think of they were kind of enjoyable back then.
So you're really only bringing it up to remind us that we should go rewatch the movies.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only reason.
Are the characters drawn like the characters, like Steve Guttenberg's in there?
Does that look like Steve Guttenberg? No way.
No, that does not.
No, none of these characters look anything like...
Is Hightower at least black?
I don't think there's a Hightower in this. There's only one black guy in this whole book.
Is it the guy that does the sounds?
Yeah.
Does he? Does
and he does? He does do that.
So you read the sounds?
Yeah, you read.
Kapow! Bam! Whip! Whip! Shink! Bam! Jeez, that lends itself to comic book writing very well.
Yeah,
he's like onomatopoeia.
The best one I remember was when he was doing the video games. I sound just like him, right?
Yeah.
you should go on tour.
You should become a folio artist.
Oh, here's my beatbox.
See, Kevin, you can go on.
It's now your beat long box. You beat your long box a lot, don't you, Kevin?
Me and Kevin are going on tour. I'm going to do impressions, and Kevin will do sound
noises.
Effects.
Oh, dude, those go hand in hand.
I'm Hightower.
Do your bobcat, Tony. Do your bobcat.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, God, you sound like an 80-year-old grandpa who's lost his teeth.
But me and my love obsession with ads.
Camp Candy?
Can't yet.
Yeah, Alf?
This was an ad showing the Saturday morning lineup.
The Nintendo guys down at the bottom right.
Captain N and Nintendo.
Yeah.
King Hippo in the corner.
Chipmunks, Karate Kid.
Alf. And actually, this is when they had two Alf shows.
Yeah. Smurfs, when it was cool.
Wow.
And, don't forget about Saved by the Bell.
The cartoon?
No,
they're watching Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, Alvin and the Chipmunks are watching Saved by the Bell.
Man, that brings back memories.
They've got a good father, anyway.
Definitely watch Police Academy. Police Academy 2. If you haven't seen it recently, you're in for a wonderful treat. And honestly, those movies fucking hold up.
But comic book doesn't.
No, not at all.
It's not worth the paper it's printed on.
No, especially this one. Look at it. Look at some dumbass kid. They finished the puzzle on the back.
Was that you? Was that? It's your comic book.
It might have been.
Thank you for your long box, Kevin. Yeah.
We're going to move on to Best on Tap.
Yes, Best on Tap, brought to you by comicbookdisplays.com. Definitely check them out. They will hook you up with custom frames for your cover art. Not only that, but they do other frames for whether you have art that you want to hang up on the wall. If you got posters, they do some of those as well. We just had a contest last week, and we had one of our listeners win a free display from them. So go check them out at comicbookdisplays.com. Matt, what do you got for Best on Tap?
Well, I'm kind of mad because we ended up picking a Psylocke cover anyways, even though Derek's not here. But the cover on Uncanny X-Force number 9, cover art by Chris Anka, but probably Anka because that sounds cooler. It's Chris with a K, too, so that's trendy as well. Anyways, his art, pretty awesome. It's got Psylocke laying on her stomach in a tattoo parlor, and she's getting a tattoo of Cluster, Phantom X, and Weapon 13 on her back. It's still in that kind of unfinished phase. The tattoo's almost done. But she's just sitting there listening. You know, she's been there for a while for the tattoo, so she's listening to her iPod. And what's really kind of cool is that it's really a warning about how you really shouldn't get tattoos of your exes on your back.
Yeah, X1, X2, X13.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of X's in this book because it's an X-Men book. But
and there's a lot of sex.
Sexing book.
Yes.
But overall, I really like the concept. I think it actually tells the complications of that relationship. It sums it up all right there on the cover.
Yes.
So, nice. Well done.
It's very beautiful. It's a very, like, I love Phantom X. I may get this tattoo. Across my
I was actually going to, I was wondering who would go out and be like, that'd be a really good tattoo to get. I'm glad that you'll get your tramp stamped.
Well, thanks.
All right, so that was our Best on Tap for the week. Again, brought to you by comicbookdisplays.com. Check them out.
All right, well, let's move on to some news and notes. There is not a lot of news.
Yeah, it seemed like something big was happening a week ago or so. And
2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, 2 weeks ago, and we covered most of the stuff last week.
Yeah.
It's a slow week.
I wouldn't say much developing stuff. or new stuff came. I mean, there were some things that came, like continuing stories from there. Like, I was really excited to see from San Diego the first glimpse of the Sentinel HUD.
Mm-hmm.
But now we actually see a full size, model, or I don't know if it's actually going to be used in the production of a full size Sentinel.
Oh, I believe that they are. Yeah, using
that's the design. Yeah,
yeah, they are using it. There is that Trask Industries commercial for the fake company, and I actually love when movies kind of do these things. Like, it's a high production value type preview of something that's probably not ever going to be in the movie. I know Resident Evil did it before.
Yeah, like Umbrella Corporation commercials.
Yeah, and it's like really cool to kind of show off something, and in there it has the Sentinel.
I think that's a great way to build hype for the fan base that you know is already going to go see it, but this gives them something like, oh, that's cute. Oh, I know what they're talking about. I feel special. It includes people, which is a good thing.
Well, and it's a I think the website really ties in well to that as well. Have you guys checked out the website?
Trask.
Trask. I think it's just TraskIndustries.com.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It is a beautiful site. It's better than a lot of companies' websites I go to. It's beautiful. It well educates me about the mutant outbreak that's growing.
I'm gonna start a career there. Find out how to get employed.
Well, I try to figure out how to submit an application online, but maybe that link is down right now.
You know what the mutant's best defense is right now? The fact that Congress can't get shit done. They're safe right now. No laws will be passed against them.
Yeah, but they also have a picture of a Sentinel next to Bryan Singer, and there you get a really big, better glimpse of the whole Sentinel. And I don't like that it's got a turbofan in the middle of its stomach.
I feel like that's going to be to show how it flies, because they're always known flying like belly down. So you're going to have some kind of thrust coming from the...
They have rockets on there.
Yeah, but, okay, so that propels them forward. What keeps them up in the air when they're flying, like, on their belly?
Yeah, but Iron Man doesn't have a big, huge turbine in his chest.
Yeah, but Iron Man is special.
He uses magnets.
He uses repulsors. Well, he's got his hands and, yeah.
Why does this need to be based in some sort of science mumbo-jumbo here?
Because this is their opportunity to show, like, this is how we really could build
these robots,
guys.
I thought
the
Sentinels had, like, some sort of disc thing in their chest.
No, they kind of had an arc reactor circle spot. It was probably a flashlight back in the day, just to spot mutants and make sure that, you know, the reader knew.
Shit.
nice phone there.
Derek wasn't here to tell me to turn off my phone.
Is that Zordon?
No, but...
But look, like, the movie universes do, I think, a really good job of trying to make stuff look like it could actually work.
Like, on the website, did you see the mutant detector and the suppressor?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they have a handheld detector that will detect mutant brain waves within a certain parameter, and then they got those collars that you can pop on a mutant to...
turn off their powers.
Yeah.
Dude, this is just the crazy kind of... This movie's got a lot of shit going. It's got the Days of Futures Past kind of what you're thinking going to be the story arc of where they go to the future and find out everyone's dead. You have, I mean, and obviously Sentinels were a big part of it, but I'm kind of wondering what, like, this is just too much, I think.
And maybe what we're going to find out is kind of the way, like, Peter Jackson got in the middle of The Hobbit and said, yeah, we're doing this in three movies. Maybe he comes out with part one and part two of this. That wouldn't surprise me.
Hey, I'm all for it, just as long as
it's a good story.
It's a good story. It holds my holds my interest. But just as long as it's not a 3 hour.
That's what I'm saying. Make it shoot 4 hours of it, and then break it into two movies, 2 hours.
Or
each.
Somehow do a middle and kind of like do like Kill Bill, how it was almost all the way made, I think, and then he then did some extra stuff to do number two.
Yeah, something like that, maybe.
I don't know. So, all
right. But yeah, I think it looks pretty cool, and I understand why they do that in the movie universe. Yeah. It's all the Batman stuff actually looked like, and most of that stuff in the Batman movies actually did exist. The tumbler is a real vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
The motorcycle, real vehicle.
Yeah, did you ever,
it wasn't really until the third one that they got into that stupid plane.
Yeah. I don't really give a shit, though. They are superheroes. They're mutants. They got powers. They can shoot laser beams from their eyes
I know,
and bolts of lightning
yeah,
from their arse.
But the they can also freeze Scotland, so... The movie universe is a different place where you've only got like one shot at it really, or a couple shots at it. They keep changing Iron Man's armor for each one because it's like, hey, let's do something new. Whereas in a comic book, you're gonna see this character in roughly the same form for a run until a new artist comes along and then redesigns their costume.
All right.
Like Ryan Stegman.
Yes. We have some news, I guess, for Arrow. Do you guys watch Arrow?
What's crazy is I have a U-verse package, millions of television shows at my disposal. Not one of them is the CW.
Really?
Yeah.
I think even I get the CW and I don't have cable.
All I have to do is really figure out a way to put an antenna outside my house.
Okay.
Then I could probably get it through the broadcast.
Is that Hulu or Netflix?
I don't.
I could. Right.
I don't really. I don't look at those options very often. So,
well, one of the things with this show has been Smallville. I've talked about before. I love that show. Like, it was probably one of the few Superman things that I could stomach, of watching him grow up, come into being Superman, and kind of the small twist that they did a bit from his origins, which is
to
why
make
they have
sense in the sick. You know,
yeah, that's episode. Why they have the Smallville comic book, which is a bit different than the other Superman comic book going on, which is really cool as well. So Arrow is another comic book show. It's a show that people, if you like comic books, should watch. Now, I'm guilty of not watching it a lot. I've seen a couple episodes. They have had quite a few cameos from different characters.
Mostly B and C rate characters, right?
Kind of. I mean, we have Sebastian Blood and Bronze Tiger are going to show up in the second season of Arrow.
Bronze Tiger.
Yeah, Spawn. Michael Jai White is going.
Say, I only
Kevin
know.
Alejandro.
I only know who Bronze Tiger is because of a Batman the Brave and the Bold episode, and I was like, isn't this just like Black Panther but bronzed and striped?
Kind of. Yes. Well, another one that they've been talking about bringing in is possibly Nightwing.
Another character on there?
Well, yeah, bringing the character into Arrow, which would be kind of cool to see some of these people. Like I said, in Smallville, when they did some of the Justice Society people, it kind of made you be like, and it was just for a few episodes, but it was kind of like, yeah, they're in that universe, or they're doing stuff.
It does make the world feel bigger.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Instead of being just the one Robin Hood in the
the
one place. One of the other big things coming out from CW right now is talking about trying to get Flash worked in
a Barry
the next
Allen
season.
Flash.
Yeah, but I want to know what happened to the talk about Amazon. I mean, I heard that was the talk for a while.
And what?
And are they worried about? Because when I hear Wonder Woman television, people still think about Linda Carter, and is that what's holding people,
I think
producers
that,
from
I think producers
that
are
show?
No, I think producers are afraid to take a risk because you run the risk of either making the character something so she's unrecognizable from her comic book character, or making her too super masculine and then you piss off a bunch of women's groups, or you make her too sexy and you still piss off a bunch of women's groups,
or you just don't make it and you piss off a bunch of people.
Yeah, but I think that it's one of those. I think it's one of the ones that has to be handled more or less delicately. I mean, other than Elektra, name me one Marvel movie that had a female superhero as the lead.
Yeah, well,
Halle Berry,
Catwoman was DC. Yeah. Don't watch that one.
I just had an aneurysm.
That's always a good laugh.
Yeah, that is
true.
That's true.
But one of the things is going to be cool. Like I said, they're planning on, I believe, introducing him in Arrow and then fast tracking this to get an Arrow or get
fast tracking it because he's the Flash.
That's badass. Yes. Unintentional that one.
Yeah,
right?
I'm funny and I don't even know it. So what this means, though,
genius.
Is this could lead to more possibilities of more shows being made. If this all of a sudden takes off, like Arrow has, that would just be great. We got S.H.I.E.L.D. coming in September, which that could also open the doors for some more
B-list.
Yeah, there's a lot of just shows. We're going to stop buying comics and just start watching
shows.
TV well, shows.
We're going to have to add a movie show
segment.
Well,
yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out, like the new late night animated series that's going to be on Fox featuring Axe Cop.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch the preview of that?
No, I didn't watch the preview.
It is crazy.
Seth Green just made a for Hulu only show called The Awesomes, which is a parody of superhero group.
That sounds awesome.
just on YouTube?
Yeah, it's just on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Well, speaking of good comics and good everything, Image Comics has pretty much been at the top of the New York Times bestseller
top
list
for
graphic novels.
It doesn't matter, graphic novels. Well, that's a lot of what they do is graphic novels and.
Well, but you're talking about like. So people aren't buying the Image comic book when it comes out, but when it comes back in a trade paperback, it's selling well.
Well, I don't think any of their big titles they're now. And I think we're specifically mentioning, shouting out to Saga and Walking Dead.
Yep.
I mean, with the first 20 issues of those came out. Did anyone really pay attention?
Saga.
To
a lot of people paid attention to Saga, but I don't know. Walking Dead was pretty well into the series before people went. This is awesome! I love zombies.
How many issues is in Saga right now?
They're only up to like. It's only been out for like a year and a half.
Really? I thought it was out for at least three or 4 years.
No, but what's happening is people have heard about it and gone, "Oh man, they're already on issue 4."
Okay.
So I'm gonna wait till. The first 6 come out by that and then move forward. So, but that's still good for them. It's nice to see new blood in the game.
Well, and they're beating a big companies. That's always good to see these. I mean, as much as I love big crossover events and stuff, I love creator owned books that have their world that they can do whatever the fuck they want with it. That there's consequences to everything and it lasts.
What I would like to see would be like a shared world, but with creator-owned things, and you don't mess the whole world up, but you can mess up your city. You can mess up your corner of it. You can mess up your heroes, but you can't do something that's going to destroy the whole planet, right? Mm-hmm. Unless everyone, like the creator-owned people, agreed on that. But you wouldn't have to do that, because you could do... what's happening in this city, they talk about in the other one, and they just mention it, which makes the world feel interconnected. But it's kind of like the Forgotten Realms, I feel. But then they screwed that up when they sold it.
Kevin, you got any other news?
Well, speaking of Image, Chew's getting... it's getting its own animated adaptation. Now, it originally was supposed to be on Showtime. But then Showtime got wet feet about it and put it on the shelf and then just sat there.
Is there not enough boobs in it?
maybe. Maybe no.
I'm sorry, that's HBO's new philosophy.
But then someone picked it up. The company that escapes me, I've never heard of them before, but someone picked them up and now they're going to make a direct-to-video adaptation of this book. So hurrah to people at Image and those who are fans of it.
That'll be cool. I've watched many of the cartoon animated DC ones and Marvel ones, and they are pretty damn good.
Yeah, the animated ones that they've come out with, I've liked a lot.
Oh yeah, the Marvel ones and the DC ones. Now, when they first really started hitting the scene, like 4 or 5 years ago, I watched the piss out of them. New Avengers and New Avengers 2.
Mm-hmm.
Those were epic stories.
The Ultimates?
Ultimate Avengers. Yeah,
that's basically what they were. Was the Ultimates?
Yeah, and then there was a couple DC ones. There was Justice League Frontiers, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
That was great. And what blew me away was the quality voice acting they got on it.
We would not have had Nathan Fillion playing the voice of a Green Lantern without it.
Yeah, it was super cool. So, I would like to get back to a Netflix subscription and start watching some of these shows again. That'd be really cool.
That's about all I had for.
Well, I got a couple things real
you
quick.
You actually found some more news than
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I got a couple more.
You were searching those nuggets. Damn it. I said it again.
He was mining for nuggets.
Hey, Tony, I know you're a fan of Eau de Toilette. You'd be happy to know that Stan Lee is coming out with his very own fragrance.
Are you shitting me? And I thought you were talking about I like toilets.
Is it called Excelsior?
No, it's unfortunate. You would think that they would call it something cool like that, but no, it's called Stan Lee Signature Cologne.
Aww.
I've got Stan Lee's signature, and it smells like Sharpie.
Did you rub it on yourself a little bit?
I may have kissed it.
Little dab around the neck area. Yeah, they unveiled it a handful of weeks ago. I don't have much details beyond that, but it's just funny.
I can't imagine Stan sitting in a room. Well, smell this. Smells like ass. Smells like cat pee. What's tolerable?
Well, hey, it might be available at your local Ulta.
Ooh.
Now, are you guys familiar with the mass retailer Ulta?
I have no idea who they are.
Really? Okay, so Ulta is a national chain.
I thought it was a typo on the cover. They forgot an R.
No, Ulta is a national chain of cosmetic and beauty care products, shampoos, stuff like that. They actually have a men's selection. I've been into it's literally one shelf for men.
Listeners, you can't see it, but Kevin's actually holding up a catalog here.
Yeah,
which makes us wonder that's how he found the story out. No, I'm just flipping through my Ulta catalog.
No. I'm tying it together. This is actually my girlfriend's Ulta.
Your girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah,
she just puts it in my name so that they know to mail it to my house.
Check this out. What you can get with purchase at this retailer.
No way.
A special edition comic book for ladies who purchase, $30 worth of merchandise at one of their locations, which is easy to do on Women's Crap because conditioners and eye makeup and spa visits.
It's the Spy Gal Marvel comic. $15 value.
$15 value? How did you get $15?
Hey, guys, it's limited edition. Derek might want it.
Derek's definitely going to go to Ulta now.
Do they have variant covers? I want the variant cover.
But who came up with the idea of at this makeup store. Let's have a limited edition comic book for sale here.
Because they listened to our podcast and knew Derek would come.
It's called the comic is called Spy Gal, Secret Life of a Smooth Operator. Special guest appearance by Black Widow. And Nick Fury.
Nice. Ooh.
Nice.
Did I interest you even more?
Well, she is a spy, and she is a girl.
So, Nick Fury's a girl?
He dresses like one sometimes. All right. Any other news, Kevin? We got to end on that note.
Yeah. New doctor. He's going to be revealed live on
the BBC. You have a new doctor?
New doctor. New.
Who?
Who's going to be revealed?
Who?
Doctor.
That's such an old joke. It still works for me.
August 4th on BBC One.
That's actually kind of cool if they're going to do it live. Well, it's got to be out there in the press. I mean, that shit gets leaked all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of speculation on who it is. And
I'm think
sure
something like
who
that.
It is speculated.
I know who it is. It's Doctor Who.
Right. Who's on first?
Your mom.
I'm tapped on news, so... Cool.
All right, then shall we take a drive down the Indy... Actually, the Indy Turnpike is also known as the David Letterman Turnpike, or freeway.
Is that an IndyCar reference?
No, David Letterman's from Indianapolis, and the Indy Turnpike is the big thing that goes all the way around it.
Oh, okay.
And the David Letterman Freeway.
Thank you for informing us of that.
I am full of nuggets of knowledge. So, Indy Turnpike is brought to you by Intercomics, inter-comics.com. They're out of the UK, but those limey ladies and gentlemen will ship your comics wherever you want.
All right. This week for Indie Turnpike, I picked up Collider number one. Now, it's number one, but I want to quick show you guys this, though. On the cover here, that's a number sign, but does that also not look like a 5?
Let me see.
Like a white 51?
Give that here. What's
you
going
see
on?
That? You see how it could be like a 5? Am I the only
Man,
one?
Man, you're supposed to be saving that weed for adventure time. What the fuck, dude?
Your okay. glasses need to get fixed, but...
Fuck
it's
you guys.
What's funny is I think Tony's making a new 52 reference, and it's 51.
Oh, I need to do my math. Anyways.
It's from Vertigo Comics, so that's why the connection to DC is, so...
You informed me again, Matt. You are so wise beyond your years.
Now I just think your glasses are broke.
I just need a new prescription. Collider is a badass book. When it comes to indie books, you'll pick one up and you'll really get hooked on the story. Or sometimes you may just be like, it was okay, but it's not for me. This is definitely one that I was hooked on. And I've picked up my share of random books, especially when it's number ones, because a lot of indie books, you can't just jump in at, you know, number 51 know what's going to happen.
No, I did that with From Image Comics 6. I tried to pick up number 5. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's just sometimes like, you just can't do that. So I'm glad
that
I got...
You just wanted to see boobs.
I did, and I was disappointed.
This book, obviously it's number one, so I could easily get understanding the story. And ultimately, this story written by Simon Oliver and created both by Simon Oliver and the artist Robbie Rodriguez really tells you the story of, given the right conditions, the impossible is always possible. It starts off with this character's dad who pretty much is... I don't know, investigating a physics phenomenon and kind of explaining to his son that the laws of physics were always constant until now. And then you jump ahead and you end up realizing there's the Federal Bureau of Physics. And pretty much they've turned into a almost policeman, fireman type call. People will call 911 and they ask fire, ambulance, you know, police or physics.
I can't get my homework done. I got a test tomorrow.
911% a physics officer. But ultimately, they investigate some of these things, these phenomena that are going on. There's a wormhole that would open up in some small town, or one of the main parts in this book was an anti-gravity field that just opened up. So there were some kids that were playing in it, and so they're kind of floating, and they had to get them out of there, and then they had to close the hole up. Well, ultimately, there's some people on this that they're getting defunded. Some senators are talking about trying to privatize it, trying to turn it into more of a, let's make some money off of closing these portals, closing these rips and tears in the physics of the universe. And at the end, you find out that there's not everything is what it seems, along with the group of people that you're starting to read about. I'm trying not to spoil as much as possible, but ultimately in the end, there's a big clusterfuck. That's all I'm going to say. It's so worth a read that I'm not even going to explain what happens in it.
Mostly because it has to do with physics and Tony sucks at math.
Fuck you, but that is also true. So ultimately, pick up Collider number one. You will not be disappointed. Especially because, like I said, okay, I don't know a lot about physics. This taught me, well, it didn't really teach me a thing or two, but it was interesting enough of it's something different. It's not mutant powers. It's not time travel. It's not aliens. It's
something happening to the world.
It's a natural law of physics, and these things can manifest anywhere. Who are you going to call?
FBP.
Yes.
The Federal Bureau of Physics.
Or the Ghostbusters, but okay.
They do have particle accelerators strapped to their back. The one thing you know about physics, don't cross the streams. All right, that was the Indie Turnpike brought to you by Inter Comics. Go check them out.
Well, Matt, I heard you got a booze in a book.
I do have a booze in a book. 'Tis a good one. So first, we'll start off with the book, or rather the three books that make up Superman, Red Son. An excellent one. Written by Mark Miller, pencilers Dave Johnson and Killian Plunkett, inkers Andrew Robinson and Walden Wong, and letters by Ken Lopez, because I felt like giving them credit. All right, colorist Paul Mounts. Anyways, so the story here for Superman Red Son is, what if Superman had landed in Soviet Russia as opposed to Middle Kansas? If his departure had been delayed or was early by just 12 hours, this could have been our reality. And growing up, he was taught all the communist ideas, not the messy, oftentimes corrupt politics of staying out of power, but more the idealistic idea that there is enough food in the world, there's enough wealth, there's enough health care, that everyone should get their share. And so that's what this Superman believes in, is sharing everything and making sure everyone's got their fill. He wants everyone to do their part and embrace his message, but for the most part, he's still Superman, and that Boy Scout in him doesn't want to punch people into believing his ideas. Instead, he wants them to choose the right thing. Instead, he only punches the people who try to stop and take away this communist idea. Right? So, a lot happens in these three issues, and if you aren't a huge Superman fan, which if you know me, I'm not, I think you will really appreciate this book. Okay. Now, for the beer that I chose, I didn't choose just a single one. I chose a type of beer, a Russian Imperial Stout. Just pick one, anyone you like, because like Superman, it's not going to tell you what to do, except that I'm going to tell you that it has to be a Russian Imperial Stout. And it's neat how freedom and tyranny can work so closely together. One connection to the book. All right, so Russian Imperial Stouts, guys, were inspired back in the 1800s to win over the Russian Tsars, hence they got their name. They are the king of stouts, boasting high alcohol volumes, which you should like,
yes.
And plenty of malt flavor, low to moderate levels of carbonation with huge roasted chocolate and burnt malt flavors. Some are hoppy, most of them aren't, but they're just good beers. They range between 8 to 12% alcohol by volume, so they'll get you drunk.
Hey, usually served in a, what was that type of, a bell, is it just called a bell glass?
Yeah. Tumbler?
Yeah,
tumbler.
Okay.
Tumblr glass. Cool. So, I paired this dark version of the Superman mythology with this dark, exceptionally awesome style of beer for several reasons beyond the obvious Russian connection. All right. First, the characters in this book are very familiar to us, but they have that extra edge that makes them, for the most part, much cooler than their normal DC universe selves. Likewise, drinking a Russian Imperial Stout feels similar to drinking other stouts, except for the added kick, with a much higher alcohol content, provides a bold flavor that lets it stand out amongst other beers. Now, in this book, Lex Luthor plans to finally take out Superman, and is his plan is a long-term chess game that he's playing, right? It takes decades to play out. If one rushes in and tries to win the game too quickly, they often make a fatal mistake, and that's the same that's going to happen if you try to drink an Imperial Stout too fast. It's best to sip and be patient while drinking this beer after dinner, you know, a little dessert, a little digestion. Take your time to let it mellow and reach room temperature. Because if you try to challenge an Imperial Stout head-on, it'll knock you flat on your ass, just like Communist Superman. Now, my final reason for pairing these two is that Imperial Stouts are awesome, and so is Batman. And so is Batman's fur hat in this book, or his bat hat, which, sorry, I was compelled to bring up how awesome that was. It's a really good fur hat. So check that out. No, my truly final reason is that Lex Luthor taunts Superman for his failures to return the shrunken city of Stalingrad, which he keeps in glass, by leaving a note that says, "Why don't you just put the whole world in a bottle, Superman?" And you know what? That's excellent drinking philosophy. Why don't we put the whole world in a bottle and then drink it? So, I've given you my premise for the book and the beer. I don't want to spoil everything about the ending, so take my advice. Find yourself a copy of Superman Red Son. Splurge on some good Russian Imperial Stout. Have a great time. They're both great beers and excellent books.
That was the longest booze in the book I think we've ever had.
I was inspired. Well, the Russians are really good at writing these really, really, really long novels. So that was.
And if Derek was here, he would have just paired it with a White Russian and been done with it in 2 seconds.
Because
so.
The dude abides.
Yeah. So, man, wow. We're at the end of the show, and we did not do enough Derek jokes.
We could have made a few more, but we'll just make them next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he's here.
Yeah, well, he's here in front of him. In front of his face.
Last call, gentlemen.
You know what? It didn't come out this week, but I finally got around to getting to my stack, and in my stack, I've been reading Supergirl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Actually, I read 2021-22. 22 just came out last week, and wow, I'm really enjoying this book. 19 just came out. It just came coming off the story arc. Hell on Earth, or Hell on Earth, or whatever you call them. And Supergirl is, she thinks she's dying, and she's running away, and she runs into Cyborg Superman. So
is it the new, like, badass-looking cyborg one with the weird claw arm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. I didn't know where it was going the first handful of issues in my subscription to this book was, but it's coming around the last three. I'm excited for it to come out for next month.
Cool. I just got the only thing that was in my stack this week was Uber number 4. Still an awesome book. So,
all right. I read Three Guns number 1 from Boom Studios. That was decent. I have still in my stack to read Batman Incorporated, and we didn't even talk about it really, but wasn't the last, what was it called? Was it Mark Miller's last super? Did that not or Batman? Did that just come out too?
Number 13.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but
yeah,
whatever.
I think that came out this. I think it did.
All right, Red Lanterns number 22 was also good. Kevin, you should
fuck you.
You should read
God
that.
God damn it! I just found, see. My local comic book store decided no longer to carry. Red Lantern. Help me out with the last big story arc.
Was it the First Lantern?
Yeah, the First Lantern. Yeah, after the First Lantern ended, he stopped carrying it. So I thought DC dropped it, and we didn't pick it up in news and notes. But
yeah.
The we also picked up What If AVX.
Done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Last but not least, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 24, City Fall, or it's the starting of the City Fall story arc. God, man, what IDW has done with Ninja Turtles and Transformers, they have just reinvigorated my childhood. It's good. All right, now you
on
go.
A disappointing note, What If AVX number 4, I don't know. I felt, why couldn't this just been one, maybe two What If issues? Not 4. I'm so glad I went on this with Tony, because otherwise I'd be upset. So, yeah. I will no longer get a What If Marvel unless it's 1-2 issues max. That's it.
I'd say the 4 is rather long.
It was, yeah, and it didn't. There wasn't anything like awesome about it being 4 issues. Mm-hmm. It just should. You could have wrapped this up in 1.
I'm still gonna pick. I've read 1 and 2. I'm still gonna pick up even with that. I'm still gonna pick up 3 and 4.
Just read ours. Read ours. Yeah, I'll Communist Superman. Well, share.
I'm going to Evansville, Indiana.
God, I'm sorry.
For 2 weeks. I need something to do down there. So I'm going to pick up.
Bring a gun.
At least they
bring a lot of whiskey.
I would bring a lot of weed with me if that was acceptable.
You can get moonshine down there. You're right on the edge of Kentucky.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Well,
Tony's lassoing, so that must mean he's got a Bucks and Broncos. And
yeah.
So
we got to get out of here.
So
thanks for tuning in for us today. I'm Matt.
Kevin.
I'm Derek, and Tony's the coolest person ever.
And I owe him $20 because he's right that Spider-Man is a ghost.
And I'm Tony, and I will totally accept that, Derek, who's been here the whole time, who just said that.
Someone just hit you in the nuts?
Keep on reading those comics, and you will hear from us again later.
Bye.
Arrivederci.